Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Roundtable for October. I am Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, Jamie?
Where are we? I don't even know what we're doing.
I know. It's a mess. And then we are joined by all kinds of people today. So our boy Cabbage. What's up, Cabbage?
Oh, hello.
And then our boy Spencer. How you doing, Spencer?
Howdy. I'm doing good.
And Chad sitting over there. How you doing, Chad?
Wait, did Spencer say peyote? I heard peyote.
And then our boy Spider, who is raking leaves right now. How's it going, Spider?
Autumn is my favorite season. Leaves suck ass.
Agreed. That's fair. Peyote probably makes raking leaves a little bit more enjoyable. I don't know. All right, so we are going to struggle to stay on topic this week, I believe, and it'll be fun. So we are going to talk about a theme that came up in the last show. The idea of spending extra money on video games. We're going to make that broad, be it loot boxes or microtransactions or anything in that vein. I think it's an interesting topic because it's incredibly prevalent in video games at this point. Yeah, I don't know if anybody here actually pays money for extra things like that in games, and so I'm interested to hear everybody's thoughts about that. So let's start with our boy Spencer, since Spencer hasn't been here in a while. I would love just your kind of thoughts. Do you spend money on microtransactions, on loot boxes, that kind of stuff in video games?
I usually end up just buying, like, if it's a free to play, I'll buy the Founders Pack or whatever they call it. I think that helps support servers, right? And that's what they use it for.
Yeah, that I don't know. Actually, that's a good question. Give me an example of that. Like, what's a game that you've done that on? What did you get like perks out of that?
Was it MechWarrior Online, the newest iteration of that? You got a whole bunch of extra mechs and just extra storage for your to be able to use store extra mechs, and I think you got a large
garage
cash. Yeah, a large, and you got a lot of cash too to start to buy other
stuff. Gotcha. Yeah, that's an interesting thought of paying money for a free-to-play game because you don't have to pay money to play the game in the first place. That changed already what I was thinking. Cabbage, what about you? How often do you spend money for stuff like that?
Not a lot. I mean, so with something like Overwatch, which has loot boxes, and that's one of the before the loot boxes have become crazy recently, you know, games like Overwatch, the way they do loot boxes, I think most people are okay with. You'll still have people that don't like it, but, you know, with that game, you're literally just getting, you're paying to get loot boxes faster that you could get just by leveling up, and the loot boxes just have cosmetic stuff. So I would say I've the only time I've spent money in that game on the loot boxes are, like, let's say there's an event, like right now, I think it's still going. There's a Halloween event that they'll do. They do events like that where you get, you know, unique skins to that event. And if I don't think I'm going to be playing a lot and I know there's cool skins in there, I might drop, you know, $5 or $10 just to see if I can get one out of that. I've done it once or twice because I don't mind doing that because I bought the game and I've really enjoyed it. I've played a lot of it. And I don't mind throwing Blizzard a little extra money for something that's just cosmetic, you know. It is something that technically I could get by playing, but it's just I don't know if I'll be able to grind that much during this event, so I'll just give them a little bit of money, see what I get. But even that's pretty rare. I've only done it like a few times.
You made a really good point there because I was about to mention the fact that I think a lot of it has to do with the company. I'm more inclined to give money to somebody like Blizzard than I would be EA.
Yeah.
Agreed. I'm just curious, again, this is my naivete here. What is the process and how much does it cost to, like, open a loot box in Overwatch?
Well, and see, here's where, and we'll probably get more into this, but this is where loot boxes can be dangerous if you have a gambling type of habit or personality, you know, if you're inclined to that. Because with something like Overwatch, when you go to the area where you would normally open loot boxes and you don't have any, it's literally like a click away to just get more. And it's like $2, I think, to get two, and then five to get, it kind of goes up from there, like it's in tiers. I think that's how it goes. This shows how often I've done it. Not very often, but the other side of it is that it's so easy and quick because you can just have it set up with PayPal or whatever you have your Battle.net account set up with. You can just quickly buy them and it almost feels like nothing, even though obviously you're spending money. But once you get the loot box, it's, to my knowledge, buying it doesn't seem to give you a greater chance at other things in it that you would get out of when you just grinded for with that game. I might be wrong. Some games, though, that's different. You know, the loot boxes you pay for, the stuff that comes out of it, there's a greater chance of getting, like, let's say, I think Shadow of War works that way. Like, there's a greater chance of getting a legendary or whatever orc. So it's a sketchy thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair. Chad, you are a person that spends money on video games. I'm curious because I don't know. Do you do microtransactions? Do you do any of this kind of stuff?
No.
Okay. what's your thoughts on it?
I think it's stupid. You know, I'll spend money on a game, but mostly DLC, you know?
Yeah.
If there's some new levels, things like that, that there's, you know, there's good substantive DLC, but no, I mean, all this stuff is so very millennial and, you know, what is the current gen? The current gen of kids is, you guys are all millennials, but
no.
Yeah. No. Okay. Actually, I think you're not. If you're born,
Jamie's not
80 and after, 80 and after is actually millennial. Don't forget that. People think it's kids. Kids these days are like Gen something. I forget what it is, but not millennials. That's neither here nor there. Hey, I'm still shaking off that nap, guys. But I think being very cosmetic, the only thing that I probably, and I was listening to something, would consider that I jump into these microtransactions with are amiibos. I do like amiibos, but that kind of feeds a little bit different of a spot in your brain because it's a collectible as well. Like I have a really cool Link, but then it does let me, you know, set it on the, you know, on the Switch and it gives me a chest with food and Zelda and things like that. But the way that works is very, very similar to all these other microtransactions that you're making for loot boxes. But in essence, it does in Nintendo games gives you loot boxes. So that was one of the arguments that I heard recently. And that's probably the only one that I participate in. So,
yeah, the idea of amiibos is interesting because it's not necessarily dangerous to like the gambling fixation, but it still could get out of control in that same way. It's fairly limited supply of amiibos that are out there, but people get fixated on collectibles. Not in the same way people get fixated on gambling, but I could see how if you have a propensity to abuse either of those worlds, you easily could end up spending way more money than you should on that kind of stuff. So I think that fits well into the conversation. Also DLC, I think, is, the question, we'll get back to this in just a second, is what is quantifiable as kind of DLC as opposed to the microtransaction loot box kind of side of things. Before that, let me get Spider in here and just same question to you, Spider. Is this something, do you do loot boxes or microtransactions or any of that kind of stuff on a regular basis?
For the most part, no. I do play one game, Final Fantasy Record Keeper, on my mobile device that when I first started out, they had the option to pay a buck and do a free draw for a lucky item. And so I started out with that. But once I got to the point where my characters were strong enough, I stopped doing that. So that's the only game. I will pay for like expansion packs. Like I'm planning on picking up the Horizon Zero Dawn expansion. I picked up, you know, the XCOM expansion, stuff like that, where there's, if there's enough content to justify the price, then I'll totally go for it. Plus, games have stayed $60 for the last couple of generations now, and if having other that option there so that some people will pay for it helps keep the cost of the game down for me, I'm all for that.
Yeah. Does anybody do like season passes? That's kind of in the same realm too of paying extra money for content in a you know, subscription based model or whatever. I don't think anybody does, but if anybody does, feel free to jump in here.
I've only ever bought two, and that's, and this goes back to what Jamie was saying, is it's based on who's doing it. So I bought the one for Breath of the Wild because it was $20.
Yeah.
And because I've been playing this game that's like, okay, Nintendo clearly, well, we've always known this, but there was a questionable period where I was like, are they going to make a really good Zelda again? And they did, even though I have problems with it. Breath of the Wild is great. The new Mario is great. So if you're going to only charge me $20 to just be able to, I'm essentially pre-ordering your expansion content for this Zelda game, I might as well do it because I'm going to buy it anyway.
See, that exactly, because we're going to buy all the Zelda, we're going to buy all the Horizon we can get.
And there you go there, even though it wasn't an expansion or a season pass, I've bought the Frozen Wild DLC, which is going to come out in a couple weeks, because Horizon was amazing, and they clearly, this Frozen Wilds thing is going to be a true expansion, also like the, and this is another season pass I've bought, is for The Witcher, because it's like, you're playing The Witcher. I played The Witcher 2. It was amazing. I'm seeing all this stuff about Witcher 3. I bought the expansion pass for Witcher 3 before, the season pass, whatever they called it. I think it was expansion pass. Before I even played the game, because I already had faith in the developer, and they delivered, because those two DLCs that came with that were incredible. I mean, they were these huge expansions, and they also didn't feel rushed at all. They felt like they put as much care into those as the main game, you know, and they released over the course of a year or so after the main game release. So it's like, it really depends on who's doing it. Now, if EA comes at me and tells me to spend $50 on a season pass for Battlefront, you're getting two middle fingers. It's not going to happen. Like, yeah. That is because you know that they took all of the content out of the base game that could have been in there, and they're selling it to you piecemeal. And it really just depends on who's doing it.
Okay, yeah, so I want to bring up in this discussion, I just cut Tommy off, I apologize, but I want to throw something else in here, because this was a thing on Facebook with an author friend that I have. Apparently people are mad at BioWare because an author lady wrote a book that is based off of Mass Effect Andromeda, and there's a lot of gamers out there saying that this book should have been DLC and it wasn't. And so now they're all like pissed about this book and what's going on, and I really, really feel like it greatly depends on who it is and what your loyalty is to that company.
Yeah, and going back to the Zelda thing, because I forgot that was even branded as a season pass, but it is. I bought it too, and I wouldn't have considered that a season pass. I think it ultimately also depends a lot on the content that you're buying into and knowing what that is. I very much, like you said, Cabbage, saw that as pre-ordering an expansion. Like, I've already paid for the expansion that's coming out in a month and a half or whatever, and I'm thrilled about that. Like, that's great. But it's technically a season pass for Zelda. So let me ask, what constitutes like a substantial DLC experience versus a more microtransaction? What is it that you're looking for to say, I'm going to give $20 or $40 or whatever to get this level of content that you may not want to spend $5 on a loot box or whatever it is? Like, what is that defining line between those worlds for Chad, or Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that expands the story, you know, some more missions, strikes, something that's substantial. So you guys were talking about that. I was busy ordering the new Colossus or whatever. FYI, you know, anybody this is going out to, it's over. But for you cats, right now, Target till the end of the day, if you buy the new Colossus, you get the original Wolfenstein, and it's DLC for $9.99. So I just ordered that. I'm gonna go pick it up afterwards. But that, I mean, that's one right there. Like Wolfenstein put it out, and they put out like this whole huge expansion pack. Same thing for Resident Evil 7. I did the season pass for Resident Evil 7, and it's still dropping stuff. You know, I mean, there's so much that I've gotten for that, and it's legit full-on story pieces that have been added, and they add them through these VHS tapes and stuff to where you go in and you play as different characters. You play something that's another part of the story, more puzzles. So that's substantial. Breath of the Wild, that's going to be some awesome DLC. And then Horizon Zero Dawn DLC comes out on the 7th, I believe it is. And that's going to be supposed to be massive. So, you know, it has to be something substantial.
Let me ask about Zelda. Cause we've talked about that a few times now. Take out the expansions coming out in December, just what they've already put out with the Trial of the Master Sword. That's not really adding to story, no. But it's a big gameplay experience. Is that something that you would find value in as a standalone if you didn't buy it in package with the story adding content that's coming later?
No, I spent like 10 minutes with what they added. It actually annoyed me. I mean, I got to see where I put my steps all over the place. That's it. But the fact that's one of the things that annoys me a little bit with some of those things, like with Zelda. I paid $20 and, you know, maybe I didn't read into it enough or I didn't understand it, but I thought I'd get some of those things. I didn't have to go through massive, you know, treasure hunts to find a mask for the Korok seeds or this, that. I mean, it's not a simple thing to go find that Korok seed mask. Like you have to do all this hunting around and everything. That kind of bothers me about DLC. If I'm handing you real cash and all you're handing me is the opportunity of having something, really all you got other than the opportunity of finding those masks, which could help you, you know where the Korok seeds were a little bit easier and some other things, is you got the steps that show around. Like that... I honestly, I hope the DLC that comes out is better, but the Breath of the Wild DLC was trash.
I'm going to disagree with you.
I completely disagree. Yeah.
For myself, I mean, you could disagree with me all you want, but sure. For me and the type of game player that I am, that DLC was garbage.
But did so there's you do nothing the to disagree the, with. You did know, you do the Trial of the Master Sword stuff though?
Yeah, I sure did do that. I mean, that was pretty cool, but I mean, whatever.
Well, I don't think
it was worth $20. I mean, I've gotten $20 games that were better than that. I mean,
sure. I think that's fair. And so if it was a standalone at a lesser price, but I love the gameplay element of that I haven't gone and found the masks or like the Tinkle costume or whatever. Like I don't really care about any of that stuff. And haven't put that time in it.
Just but I'm not going to spend $20 for that. I mean, yeah, maybe I would have spent $5 for it, but right. You know, $20 I bought. I mean, I bought some great games. I just bought that the Wolfenstein, the old one, for $9.99 just now. You know, I'm going to go get that whole thing, and it's probably going to give me what 30 hours, you know, 20 hours of gameplay or whatever it is. I mean, that trial wasn't worth $20 to me.
Not worth $20, but worth money. I think it was awesome. Well, I thought that money. Was really well done. The rest of it I agree with, but that was the part that you left out in your kind of talk about it.
I think
that's where the money is actually worth it on that first Zelda DLC. Again, I think the money is really for the second one. That's going to be where all the good stuff is. But I was really surprised by how much I enjoyed the Trial of the Sword.
And I have to say, as somebody that watched him play through the entire thing, from a content perspective, that was a ton of content. Like, I assume that when the Frozen Wilds comes out, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be like a Dragon Age type DLC. That's going to be something that seriously expands what's going on in Horizon Zero Dawn. But as far as the Trial of the Master Sword, for me, the question as to whether it was worth it or not is going to come up again in this next DLC. Because, yeah, how many hours did you spend? I bet you spent, what, 10 hours maybe?
Yeah, something in that right. ballpark.
So you spent 10 hours and now the sword's powered up. So how are we going to get to do that? How are we going to get to use that in the next DLC? And right. that's what I was thinking when you played it. If you get to use that and that part of the sword comes in handy for the next DLC, that was totally worth it. And give me some more.
Sure, but to me, it was totally worth it because it was 10 hours of really fun gameplay. Yes. Like, even if it wasn't the Master Sword being geared up, I just loved that experience. The rest of it, I didn't care about. The steps thing is fun to do it once, but after that, like, yeah.
I actually used that a lot. Right? I was going to say, the thing where it shows your steps, because of that, I was able to see that there were portions of the map that I assumed I'd been to and tried to find shrines, but that I had not even come close to being in, like huge chunks of the map. And so you can use that to see, okay, I've been here, I've been there, I'll go in between. And I've done that a number of times and found shrines that I had completely overlooked. So it was a cool thing to add. And I was also going to say, like, yeah, that's half technically, it's half of this season pass. So you can view it as like, hey, if they'd sold it separately, which I don't know if they do. I think you have to buy it all as $20. But, I mean, that's $10. So there's $10. So was it worth $10? I would say it was.
Yeah.
And then the next one is coming pretty soon. And I'm sure it will be as good or maybe better because I think the next one's actually a story expansion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I'm really looking forward to.
And I'm not saying it wasn't worth it. I'm counterbalancing Chad's point.
No, I'm counterbalancing Chad's point.
I mean, well, and that's where you have to say it wasn't worth it for me, and it was worth it for me.
Right.
Sure. Right. Which is totally fair. I just wanted to give the full context of the content in there. I think we all love Zelda, and so we're going to geek out about the content that's coming. It's a tricky thing with elements that don't add to story, and I feel like the game industry has done well of moving away from that. Maybe this is like just in my brain now. I'm kind of seeing the evolution of like the horse armor thing, right? That was the stereotypical microtransaction thing. It feels like that has now been rolled into this loot box idea, and then I don't see microtransactions in games nearly as much anymore. Do they still exist and I just miss them?
You're missing.
Yeah, I think they're okay. Everywhere.
So, they're everywhere. There's three huge games this year that have been horribly, I'm just going to say it, they've been raped by microtransactions. They're completely ruined. And that's Shadow of War, Battlefront 2, and although I'm not as familiar with it, I know the new Forza has really horrible loot box systems too.
Interesting.
And so basically,
Destiny
2, but that one's not too bad.
Yeah, Destiny 2 is just really, somebody on the side that's selling shaders and shit.
It's really not something that I think matters to the game too much. I don't like it, and I don't like how it plays into the shader system that I think is stupid. There's stuff with the mod system that it's tied into that I also am not a huge fan of the way mods work overall. So it has some problems, but the really bad ones, especially for like two games I was going to get, or Battlefront 2 and Shadow of War. I mean, those are just putrid.
So let me ask a question on how those work. I haven't played either, so I'm naive about this. Is it an option that you have to buy specific things? Like, can you go buy a specific piece of armor or a sword or whatever? Or is it the kind of gambling loot box system in those games, or a combination?
Yeah, and that's the problem, is that it's all random. And it's
that's kind of the differentiation I was trying to make that I don't think I made very clearly. It feels like games don't have I can go and spend real money on this item anymore. It's now you spend real money on a chance to get something, but you don't know what it's going to be.
I think that's even worse. Like if a game says, hey, if you want to spend $5, you can get this sword pack for Shadow of War, I would be like, you know, I'm not a huge fan, but I don't totally, I guess I understand why they do that. If you're literally telling me, no, you can pay $5 to maybe get something that can help you, that's incredibly.
And they did that. I don't, Tommy, you probably don't remember because I don't think that you really paid attention to it, but that was a big deal in the first Mass Effect trilogy. Like, you could spend money for a quote unquote expansion for weapons packs or armor packs. I mean, like all
I
that
think
was.
I think this for Andromeda, too. I think they still do that. Yeah.
And so my question is, because I think it varies greatly with the game, I have Mario on pause on my big screen. Oh, like I didn't even turn it off because as soon as we're done, I'm going to go back to it. So Mario Odyssey is great. You guys have said I've watched 20 minutes of it. I don't have an opinion yet. I don't know. I know for a fact that if it were me personally, I'd do just like Cabbage did, some of you other guys have done. I would pay for a Zelda expansion pack. Mario is one of those games, I don't know if I would pay for an expansion pack. Like, and so I think it's about the company and it's about the title.
Yeah.
I love Mario, but I don't know what they could give me that I'm like, ooh, I gotta have that.
That's an interesting thought, because is it, do you pay $5 for another world or $20 for another area or something like that? Is that worth it in Mario versus Zelda or some other game? It's a good question. I don't know that I would either, even though both those are Nintendo titles and Zelda to me is a no-brainer. But they play so differently, obviously, very, very different approaches to... And with Mario, that has kind of vanity items to it, that you spend in-game money on and you don't spend real money on. But even like playing just the first area, the sand level at the beginning of the game, like I walked into the store and was like, I'm not spending my money on this. And then like 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, you need to go spend your money on this to access something in the game. I'm like, oh, okay, now I'll go spend my money on that. But I'm even cheap with fake currency. Like I don't like spending my in-game money in a game.
You want to know what that is? You know what that is? Because I'm the same way, and here's the reason why. The reason I never bought weapons from shops or any of that, is because I'm like, at some point in the process of playing the game, I'm going to pick that up or something better. So I never really got, I mean, in RPG, I never bought a whole bunch of stuff from the shop because I'm like, I can pick that up out in the world.
Yeah, I think that's us being raised on Final Fantasy, like just drilled that into our heads. I can't remember ever buying a weapon in Final Fantasy. Like, yeah, you're always like, let's go find what's out there. So, yeah, I'm just cheap. That's me in any circumstance. So. Anyway, with the time we have left, and because Jamie brought up Mario, I'm just curious what people are playing. And so, Cabbage, I know you're playing Mario a little bit. What are your thoughts on Mario Odyssey?
It's great so far. I really haven't played that much. I just started it this morning. I put like maybe an hour and a half into it. So, I mean, I can only say that it's pretty much what I was hoping it would be. It's just, it's Mario 64, but it's got this really cool mechanic with the hat where you possess things in the environment that some really interesting kooky things can happen from that. And it's great.
Can I just say that
I'm waiting for Christian group protests over that hat possessing thing. That's what I'm waiting for. It's going to happen.
No, people are too busy looking at the neo-Nazi rally happening right now. So,
there's
another one.
Can I just say that I've been watching him run around with the hat, and I keep expecting him to like throw his hat and moonwalk across the stage like Michael Jackson. Like, I just keep expecting it because every time
that would be phenomenal.
I'm like, he's gonna do it. He's gonna start moonwalking across the level, It has not happened yet, but that's when he started throwing the hat, that was the first thing I thought of.
Have you actually been drinking? I mean, I just got to ask you personally, buddy.
No.
This is just between us, buddies.
Today.
Right. So Cabbage, I've played about as much of it as you have. The same thing. I started it this morning, if maybe 2 hours into it. But let me ask you: are you playing it with the split controllers, like Wii kind of style control, where you can shake the controllers and such?
No, because thankfully, and I'm glad that Nintendo didn't drop an egg on this one. You can use the Pro Controller and do all the same motion stuff.
Nice.
Which I'm glad, because that was a $70 controller.
Right.
That'd be great if you put the game in and they're like, no, you can't do that stuff. You need to use the crappy little... No, I hate playing with those things. I never have. Like, literally, when I bought the console, I put them into that little holder thing that comes with it, and I immediately was like, I got to go to GameStop and get a Pro Controller. This is nonsense. Yeah, but you can do... What was that?
I say, yeah, you have to have that.
I think it's. Period. I personally think it's almost necessary, unless you can somehow. Anyway, but yeah, you can do all the same motion stuff with that. And I do want to say that Nintendo has usually forced this kind of motion control stuff into their games before, and a lot of the times it doesn't work, or sometimes it's completely optional. In this game, a lot of the stuff you do with the motion, I think you like have to do it with that. That's maybe I'm early enough to where I can't tell, but even with that, I don't mind, because it works almost flawlessly. You know, it's just this thing of like, oh, you flick the controller this way, it does a spin move. If you lift it up, he will throw the hat up, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's just simple things that you get used to doing. And I actually like it. Like, it's one of the first times I've ever enjoyed the way they've done motion controls in a game. So.
Yeah, I'll say, first of all, that you don't have to have the Pro Controller, because I'm cheap and haven't bought the Pro Controller.
I know you don't have to. I know. It's just I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it's totally fair. Those little controllers are gross, but you get used to them and you can make it work. I've actually been playing it like with the split controller thing and digging it, and I didn't think I would, because like I've tried to play even like in the like when I have the Switch in it, like kickstand mode or whatever, like playing Mario Kart with the split controllers just always felt terrible to me. I just didn't work. But because I started this game from the very beginning playing it with the split controllers, like that's how I play it, you know, like it just in my head, that's how it works. And so I've actually gotten pretty good at like flicking the wrists and using the motion controls. Like you said, I think it works really well in the game. It just feels natural. And so it's Mario and it's fun, and so I dig it. Chad, what about you? What are you playing?
What am I playing? You know what I was playing recently? I bought the I spent $20. I bought Oxenfree on the Switch. I love that game so much. I played it on the PS4, and it has excellent replay value. It's a lot of fun, and it came out on the Switch. And just the idea of being able to kind of kick back on the couch or on the go, it's the perfect kind of game for it. I don't know if any of you guys have played it, but I know I've talked about it a little bit before. But I did my first playthrough of it. There's different endings depending on the choices you make, and then it kind of restarts, and you can go through and try different things for all the different endings, but it's a lot of fun. I like it.
Nice, very cool.
And then Destiny 2.
Fair enough. I have that sitting in my house now, by the way. But I also have Mario and Horizon, and so I'm kind of inundated right now. Destiny's not going to get any attention for a couple weeks still, but I'm excited to get to it.
And see, I'm sort of shocked that I know you're cheap, but we know the best version of that game is on the PC. So I'm kind of hoping that we break down and spend some money, because I'm actually looking to get a copy of that game and play with all of you guys. Kevin, do you have it yet?
I'm not gonna get that on PC unless a lot of people I know get it there. I actually have to say, unfortunately, I dropped off on that game. That game hit a wall, because Bungie just always does this. Like, it was great for the first month. I was really liking it. Hits a wall of content, and you're just like, there's no reason to... All my friends, literally all my friends that have been playing it, except for maybe one, are all playing other games waiting for the December DLC, which when it gets out, I'll probably be playing that as much as I was when the game launched. But, you know, Bungie just doesn't know how to make these games consistently worth logging into and playing. They just always disappoint in that department.
Well, the only reason I brought it up is I really feel like that the way that they did that with the unlock frame rate. I mean, there were people talking about it at work this week. It dropped on Steam last week for the PC, and guys were really excited. Went home at lunch, came in and said it looks so incredible in 4K. And I'm looking at Spencer's rig right there, and I know he's got at least one 4K screen out of all of that. That's ridiculous. No,
I don't have a 4K.
Do you not?
No, I have a 144 hertz. I'm saving to buy a 4K 144 hertz when they come out.
Man,
several thousand dollars.
That rig you got, that's ridiculous, it's man.
It's two computers.
That's insane.
It's four screens, and so it's four something. You got that going.
I got 4K, but it's split over four screens.
What have you been playing, Spencer?
Destiny a little bit. Still playing a lot of PlayerUnknown's Battleground.
See, we need to talk to him while he's here.
Yeah, tell us about PlayerUnknown's Battleground, because none of us have done anything with that. And so
there's right now, cheating is terrible. The amount of cheaters right now in that game is ridiculous.
So what does cheating look like in PlayerUnknown?
They have speed hacks. That's the big one.
Ah.
Like, the people are just flying across the map and just insta-headshot punching you. It's a great time.
Yeah, I can see how that would be annoying.
Sounds like fun.
And yeah. They're all 12-year-olds. They're like, I got you!
I've been playing Wolfenstein tonight, just so you guys know.
Fair enough. We want to hear about that.
I'm trying to get through my library of games. I have over 250 games I have not played.
Oh, yeah. You guys talk shit about me. He's got 250 games.
Dude, we know that I haven't played.
That he hasn't played. Dad, and you guys talk shit about me.
I've got 34. I probably haven't played 90 of them, okay? Like, that's what happens when you get on Steam. It just multiplies.
Vicious cycle like Steam cats. Sales and Humble
Bundle. Yeah, no, it's because of it's Steam and Humble Bundle.
And Bundle for sure. Yeah.
Like I just got to, I just want to mention real quick, because I was going to do this, but because I have had nothing to say about Mario because I barely played it. But I finally started playing Mankind Divided. That was a game that I got on a Steam sale.
Here we go. Here we go. This guy been waiting for this whole week. Because I told you.
So, and actually what happened was when I bought it originally, it didn't run, like it had weird issues on my PC. It would crash and stuff. They must have patched it because it's working fine now at a good frame rate and all that. But this game is incredible. I mean, it is exactly where you wanted them to go from the last one. I spent like 5 hours doing these quests in the most just stupid, like MacGyver feeling ways. Like, because the world is so dynamic and how you can affect it with your abilities and all that, the ways you can get in and out of situations, it really feels like you figured it out. Like, obviously the designers probably had a lot of that in mind, but sometimes it feels like, well, that was stupid how I did that. Just stumble into a solution of how to get into a room or something like that.
Can I tell you what I did last night and I'm frustrated with myself?
Oh, no.
I was playing the side quest, Neon Knights or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the first side quests. And you get in that lab, right? And you're supposed to take care of all of these vats. Well, I find this security computer at the beginning of the level. I hack it. I take over a turret, and I blow up everything in that room. And I did not realize that that was the objective. And so I crawled my way through the lab trying to get to the lady I needed to talk to. And she's like, what do you need to talk to me for? You already took care of it.
No, I love that, because the thing is, you could have gone in a totally different way. And then if you talk to her, you don't have to do any of that. You just talk to her. It's incredible how dynamic the game is. Like, and I want to say just real quick, another game, because I know other people need to go, but I just have to talk about it. We talked about Divinity. I think last time I was on, I'd just bought it and I'd barely played it. Now I've played it. Jamie, you have to play this game.
I have it. So
I think I know. Yeah, I think it's the best. I think it's my game of the year. It easily is. It's no competition. Even though it's a great year, Horizon was number one, but this unseated it.
Tommy, do you hear him? I have a copy. You need to pick up a copy. We need to be playing co-op. Spencer, apparently, you got to get in on this.
Because it's the same thing where you can approach situations in all these random ways based on your skills. I just want to say one thing real quick, because you can get a skill where you can talk to dogs. Actually, one guy in my party already had it. You can talk to animals, not just dogs. You can find a dog who he's telling you that his little doggy friend, he lost her and he doesn't know where she is, but he gives you this dog's favorite little rubber ball. Later, when you're going in through a dungeon, you can find these guard dogs that are in your way, and you can completely distract them by throwing this rubber ball, and then you find out that one of them was this little doggy's friend, and you can completely miss that and have to approach completely differently if you just happen to not have the skill where you can talk to animals. Like, there's so many crazy, dynamic, amazing things like that. All the stories are great. All the systems are great. It's like... And then my skill in the game, my main character, I made her so that she's like a necromancer, and then she can heal from blood and all this insane, terrible shit. But one thing you can do is when you've killed an enemy in the environment, or if you come up on a battle where there's already some corpse or something, you can reanimate it, and that thing will go and become this blob thing that attacks your enemies. It eventually explodes, which does damage to them, but then that leaves all this blood on the floor. Well, you can go stand in that blood and heal. And then you can get a skill that rains down blood from the heavens, so the entire field is coated in blood, so you can just constantly heal with that. Like, what? I've never played a game that has anything like that in it. It's incredible. So all play. Right.
So are you hearing this, Tommy? We have to play it. I'm making room on my system to install it.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yep. I love it. Spider, really quick, what are you playing, man?
Nothing as exciting. I'm going through my SNES Classic, so lots of nostalgia for me. I beat Mega Man X. I played through Earthbound for the first time and enjoyed that. Having save states makes a huge difference with that game. You can get through SNES claims a lot faster thanks to those. And I'm currently on Secret of Mana.
That's a classic.
I'm about halfway through that.
Yep. Awesome. Very cool. By the way, I saw Cabbage that you're also playing a little bit, maybe, of Stardew Valley on the Switch.
Yeah, there's too many games. I have nothing to really say about that because I barely played it. It seems as fun as it's looked. It's perfect on the Switch because, that's all. I don't have anything to say about it. It's too early.
Yeah. Did you play it on the PC?
No, I had never played it. I was waiting for it to be on the Switch because that just feels perfect to be on the Switch. So
I actually picked it up on the Switch. It's I don't double buy games ever, but I love that game so much. I picked it up on the Switch. That's my sitting on the couch and have 10 minutes to kill or whatever. I pick it up for 10 minutes and play a day. So it works really nicely where you just play a day and go through your business and then put it down and come back to it a little bit later. So it does play really well on the Switch. It makes a lot of sense.
I do just want to ask real quick, did you play it with the map where you have monsters at night?
I did not. No, okay. I thought about that.
I picked that, and I can't tell if it has a real effect yet, like if it means anything or if it just makes it harder if you decide to work at night, which I don't know why you would, because your energy and stuff, just need to, you need to go to sleep to recharge anyway, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick before we get out of here, because we never see him, I got to ask Spencer, what do we need to be playing that we're not playing on the PC right now?
I don't know. Well, I want to play. I got to play. I'm going to play through the Fractured Butthole.
See, I'm excited about that one, too. Like, every time I see it, it gets funnier. And so I'm like,
it's got a weird, like, turn-based. What's the game? Like, it's, you have like combat squares. So it's not like just, so you have like certain abilities have certain ranges, and it's an interesting combat mechanic.
It's like Final Fantasy Tactics with South Park.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest way you could explain it. Yeah.
Timmy!
Bizarre. good time. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys again for all of your contributions in whatever way that is. Officially with money for everybody here this time, Chad. Thank you for paying us a little bit.
Hey, since still I'm paying some money, since I'm paying some money, I'm gonna plug some shit. So yeah,
you're still not paying enough to technically be on the round table, I want to point out.
Yeah. Well.
But go ahead.
You're lucky. You're lucky. So I've long had my own podcasts and my own podcast network, and love talking with you guys monthly about it. And it inspired me to start my own games podcast, but more in conjunction. You know, we want to be work with you too, just like we always have for a long time. I actually brought you guys up. You know, there was a comment that went on, and I went back and listened. And no, I those two things that were said on the Facebook page were not said together. So, but yeah, where we just talk about the kind of stuff we talk about here on the popcornpodcast.com, and we'll be putting out, there's tons of years and years of stuff of entertainment things and awesome interviews, and you know, even interviews with gaming persons that you guys would probably be interested in. But we just started a consistent gaming podcast a couple days ago, so
very
have
cool.
A listen. Join
what us. What was the website one more time?
thepopcornpodcast.com.
Very nice.
Well, if Chad's plugging, then I'm plugging. Go to YouTube and search Cabbage and Curb and watch my stupid videos.
They're vastly entertaining. I've watched a couple of them. It's, yeah. Ridiculous randomness, which is great.
Yes.
They are, but I got to say, if you're in Tommy's house or you're in my house, you got to watch those with headphones.
No. They're very, very adult. They are not kid-friendly.
Let me sidetrack it again one more time. But you guys, if you guys listened to the last episode, did you anybody else hear the desperation in Jamie's voice the multiple times he talked about him moving like in with Tommy? And Tommy almost... I could hear the sexy sidekick in the back screaming, "No!"
You know, I didn't say we were gonna. I didn't say I was gonna move in. I said we have
like four times. Yes, we gotta live in the same city. Yes, we gotta like have bunk beds together. Like it was just
desperate. Hey, yeah, but they're one kid.
That's the way we used to do things back in the day. And you're right. She would be like, "No," but she'd get over it.
That's fair. I hope. Sans bunk bed, but yes, that's fair.
Yes.
Be a good time. So, all that being said, thank you guys for being here. It's a good time. As always, if you want to participate with us on the roundtable, go over to gaminguncensored.com and click on that Patreon link right there at the top of the page. You can get more information there. If you want to support us in other levels, we'd be thrilled with that as well. So.
Hey, Chad, can we be on your podcast?
Yeah. I was going to talk to you guys about that. I'm all set up for phone interviews, so I can call you guys and you could say what's up.
There you go.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, like we record local on a board and local, but I have I can plug the phone into the board and call you.
Yeah.
Sweet. We're into
it
then.
Sometime.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sounds good.
Just spread ourselves out all over the place. So
it'd be a little late, guys. Though we're recording 9 o'clock Pacific, so
We make that happen.
All right, sounds good. All right, end it, right. Tommy.
All right, trying. You keep jumping in here. Anyway, thank you guys for being here. We will see y'all soon with another regular show and in another month with another roundtable. For right now, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
You notice how these fools go 3-4 hours at a time, but when paid people come on, they're like, chop, chop, bitches! Chop, chop!
It's great. It's so funny.
I thought you were the one that had somewhere to be.
I do, but I didn't. I've been sitting on that joke. I'm sorry. I've been sitting on it for like a month because I haven't been able to come on.
He's got it written on the back of his hand, right?